May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Creator, our Sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. Over the course of several Thursday evenings last month, I drove from Clark County to the seminary in Alexandria, from which I had graduated, in order to attend a series of lectures on the Stations of the Cross. Now, for those who may be unfamiliar, this is a type of service in which the attendees move between a series of points or stations, reading passages of Scripture and sharing prayers while reflecting on images of 14 different scenes from Jesus' journey from the time of condemnation to the cross. The two class instructors, one a professor of theology and the other an artist, led us through discussions on ways of praying and preaching the stations using their recently published book as a subject guide. But with this, we also shared in opportunities to view and discuss some wonderful contemporary works of art that portrayed different scenes from the Old and the New Testaments. One image we viewed was a painting of the Visitation to the Shepherds, the narrative of which we just heard in the reading from Luke's Gospel. Now, this particular painting was created by the American artist Henry Tanner in about 1910, and it struck me in a particularly deep way because of the manner in which Tanner illuminated the shepherds. As you look at the painting, and I do encourage you to look this up on the internet and look at it for yourselves, you'll see a dark sky and a dark landscape. And among the gathering of shepherds in one corner, only the faintest of glows from their campfire. Yet in the depths of the darkness, the shepherds themselves are reflecting a brilliant white light that is coming from somewhere from beyond the borders of the painting, from even farther away than the forms of the angels that have appeared at the edge of the scene. Now, knowing that this particular reading was coming up tonight, and with the Tanner painting still fresh in my mind, I spent some time over the past few days looking at ways in which other artists have portrayed this scene. I looked at versions by the Italian artist Vecchio, the Dutch artist Flink, and the Portuguese artist Luini. I scrolled through image after image of icons and paintings that portrayed this scene from Luke. And a few weeks ago, my family and I even had the opportunity to see an etching of the shepherds and the angels created by Rembrandt that's currently on display at the Museum of the Shenandoah in Winchester. With each new image that I saw, the first thing that I was drawn to was the light. In some, the angels themselves were the most brilliantly lit of the figures. In others, it was the shepherds bathed in the light. But without exception, each one that I found shared a single powerful trait: light breaking through the darkness. On that first Christmas night, more than 2,000 years ago, the world was dark. There was a land suffering under Roman oppression, a kingdom governed by a cruel puppet king, a people who in the heaviness of their lives cried out for the arrival of the promised Messiah. Israel, the nation and its people, was living in that darkness. And it was into that darkness, into that void, that the light of the infant Jesus burst forth. Now, it would be several years before the entire world would know for themselves of the true power and significance of what happened on that night. But in the darkness and the hours of that evening, in the fields just a short distance away from the newborn child, the shepherds standing watch over their flocks would know. At the very beginning of the life of the one who would bring incredible gifts to many through his healing his teaching, his preaching, and his prayer, it was these shepherds who were among the first to receive the gifts of Jesus. It was the gift of knowledge. Knowledge that something wonderful had happened. It was the gift of awareness. Awareness that a Savior had entered the world. It was the gift of light. Light in a world of darkness. And perhaps most remarkably, this wasn't a gift received from a single source. It was a gift presented by a multitude of the heavenly host. Now you may be wondering, how many are in a multitude? Well, consider that the full measure of the heavenly host is beyond counting. The many that appear in this passage in Luke do not exhaust it. Whether it's the number of angels portrayed in the paintings I looked at, or the number of angels that may come to mind when each one of you consider this scene, neither amount is anywhere close to the number in the sky that night. For any total we may come up with, there will be more, far, far more. The sky would have been filled with a blinding light, and with an almost deafening exclamation, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." Now, all these years later, in the darkness of this night, the light bursts through again. Like the shepherds in the field that first Christmas night, we are the recipients of the good news. The news that something wonderful has happened. The news that a Savior has entered the world. Today, though, there's one thing about that can change. Now, as ones who have received the news, we can be the multitude. We can be the ones sent by God to share good news of great joy for all the people. We can be the ones, as with the heavenly host, to bring the light of God into the world, to be like the angels of Rembrandt or Vecchio or Tanner, reflecting the light of the Father and illuminating the land. So as we leave this place tonight and go out into the world, rejoicing in the power of the God who created us, the Son who redeems us, and the Spirit who sustains us, may we be the ones proclaiming with a deafening voice and giving off a brilliant light as we exclaim, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." Amen.